back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
Welcome back to Charlie's Geekcast Presents The Adventures of Superman. Our first episode for today is The Stabbing of June Anderson, starring Bud Collier as Clark Kent / Superman and Raleigh Bester as Lois Lane. Enjoy.
Presenting the transcription feature, Superman.
Up in the sky, look!
It's a bird! It's a plane! It's Superman!
And now, Superman, champion of the weak and the oppressed, strange visitor from interplanetary space who has arrived on Earth to fight for the cause of justice, and in his disguise as Clark Kent news reporter to investigate the ways and lives of men. When we last saw him, Kent was one of a small group made up of the ambulance surgeon, the fire chief, a photographer from the Daily Planet, and the half-hysterical unknown girl whom Kent, as Superman, had just rescued from the blazing inferno of the Sterling Tower. As she was borne off to the ambulance, the girl broke into wild, delirious cries of "Stop them! Catch them! Catch them!" and then lapsed again into unconsciousness. Today, as our story continues, Kent is waiting in a reception room of the hospital, hoping that the girl, whose identity is still unknown, will recover enough to tell who she is and throw light on the mysterious origin of the fire, which authorities are convinced was purposely set. But meanwhile, as Kent waits in the reception room, a powerful black sedan speeds through the night, far out of town on a highway for the West. Two men are tense in the front seat. One holds the wheel, while the other nervously turns the dials of the car's radio. Listen.
Watch it, Bart. Curve coming up.
I'm not blind. I can see it.
Hey! You have to do that.
Listen, Joe, the more miles we put between us and the Sterling Tower, the better. And the quicker, the better, too.
You think it's all over?
Certainly it's all over. They'll never even find her, let alone catch on about us. What are you doing with that radio?
Picking up the late news.
Oh, what's the matter? Worried about your investments?
We might hear something.
Well, I can tell you one thing. North Star Mining went down. About 20 floors down.
Don't be so funny.
Yeah, and if that girl had ever got out with her story, it'd be lower than that. And us along with it.
And at the moment, on all fronts, there are no further developments. Locally, interest still centers on the mysterious fire which destroyed the Sterling Tower early today.
This is it. Listen.
Fire department officials are waiting to explore the ruins. To confirm suspicions, the fire was of incendiary origin.
What's that? Stop the car. Pull up.
Unfortunately, the only victim of the fire who can throw light on this angle is a former secretary employed by the North Star Mining Company.
What?
Company offices of the North Star Mining Company were on the 20th floor of the tower where the fire started. But the girl escaped under mysterious circumstances. She is now in a critical condition at the city hospital.
Escape?
She couldn't have. It's not possible.
Representatives of the district attorney's office are waiting to question the young secretary if and when her condition makes it possible.
Question?
But, you hear that?
Meanwhile, Metropolitan Police are searching for two of the mining company's chief executives who have mysteriously disappeared. Bartley Pemberton, company's president, and Joseph Dineen, treasurer and vice president in charge of operations, both of whom are wanted for questioning. If they...
Bart, why'd you shut it off? You want to hear the rest of it?
I heard enough, Joe. More than enough.
Hey, Bart, where are you going? What are you turning around for?
Where am I going? Where do you think I'm going, you fool?
But you're turning back.
You bet I'm turning back. Right back where we came from.
Bart, you're crazy. We gotta get away.
We can't get away. Not now. Not till we fix that girl so she can't squeal. Where did the guy say? City Hospital?
What are you gonna do?
Now listen, Joe. Pull yourself together. You're in this just as much as I am.
I know, but...
Now couple of that girl's relatives, her cousin and her old uncle, that's you and me, are going to call on her the minute she's well enough and see her alone.
We can't. They'll get us. Wait, Bart.
Wait, nothing. We've got to get to her before she sees the DA. Now, hang on.
Boy, a hospital sure does a rushing business in doctors. Hello there, nurse.
Hello, Mr. Kent. Still waiting around?
Oh, sure. I haven't anything else to do.
Well, you're all alone now.
Huh? What do you mean?
Well, the man from the district attorney's office gave it up.
Oh?
He said to call him when the girl wakes up.
How is she, nurse? Think she'll pull through all right?
She's pulled through already. It was just shock and smoke.
Well, then why can't I see her?
Well, she's still a little upset. She woke up a while ago and said something about a car and some men.
A car?
Yes, I think that's what it was. I'd have called you, but she dropped off again. I thought she needed her rest more than you did your interview.
Thanks, nurse. My pal. So she talked about a car, eh?
Yes, and two men. Say, where are you going?
Oh, just out on that sun porch. Get a little air.
Now, listen, that sun porch is open. You'll catch your death of cold.
Oh, no, no. I like the cold.
Well, all right. Suit yourself. You've probably got at least an hour, but whatever you do, don't leave that door open.
I won't. She's right. It is cold. But what's a little thing like cold to Superman? I knew I'd find out something if I hung around here long enough. Two men in a car, eh? Not much to go on, but I've an hour or so to look. Two men in a car. And if they had anything to do with that fire, they're heading away from town. I wonder if they're the officers of that North Star Mining Company, Pemberton and Dineen. Well, if I catch up with them, I'll soon find out. Here we go.
Bart, watch the red lights. Don't want to get us picked up now, do you?
Shut up and keep your head. We're turning in at this parking lot.
Where's the hospital?
It's right around the corner. I'll ask the attendant to make sure.
Here he comes.
Evening, gentlemen.
Okay, Mac. How much to park?
50 cents for the first hour. Dime for every hour extra.
We won't be over an hour. Oh, where's the city hospital?
Straight down the avenue. First block to the right. You can't miss it.
Don't worry. We won't miss it. Yeah, we won't miss her either. Come on, Joe. It's later than I thought. We better step on it.
What if the DA got there first?
We'll worry about that when we have to. Remember now, I'm her uncle and you're her cousin who she hasn't seen for days. All set?
Listen, are you sure we got...
Come on, don't get chicken-hearted. Make it good. Short and snappy.
Okay.
No luck. Looked into 500 cars and haven't found a thing. Either that girl was raving or they slipped by me in the dark. Huh. Wait. There's a car coming up the road with two men in it. I'll drop down. No time to become Clark Kent. Here they come. I'll stand in the middle of the road. Oh. They're not going to stop. They're swerving. But I'll stop them.
Hey, what?
It's a police car. The last people in the world I want to meet right now.
Hey, you, what's the big idea? You're trying to wreck us? Hey, come back! Pat, he's playing! Up in the air!
Lock him! Lock him!
Nice shooting, officer. One of those bullets bounced off my chest. Sorry, I can't wait to explain. Gotta get back to that hospital. Wasted enough time. That girl's probably ready to talk now. So long. Back to the city.
Well, Mr. Kent, are you still waiting? My goodness, where is he?
Are you looking for me, nurse?
My lands, don't tell me you've been out on that porch all this time.
Oh, why not?
Well, it's over an hour. Aren't you frozen?
Oh, not me. I like it. What about the patient? Is she awake?
Oh, yes. She even has some visitors.
Visitors? From the district attorney's office?
No, a couple of relatives.
Relatives? I didn't know she had any.
Well, evidently she has. An uncle and a cousin.
And they're with her now?
Well, they really shouldn't be, of course, but they were so anxious and they wanted to see her so badly that I stretched a point and let them in.
How long have they been with her?
Just went in. Well, what's the matter?
Nurse, let me go in and talk to them.
You? Why, I should say not.
Please, nurse.
Not until the doctor says it's all right.
Now, look, nurse,
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put your picture in the paper. How's that?
You can't do that.
I will, I promise. A picture and a nice little story. How about it?
Well, you stay here till I call you. I'll see how she is.
Two relatives. This is the first time they show up. When the girl's been here over 12 hours and every paper in town's full of the story. Something mighty queer about this. What the? Somebody screamed.
The supervisor! Where's the supervisor? Call Dr. Peters, quick! Orderly! Orderly!
Which way do they go, Miss King?
Dr. Peters, where is he? Call him somebody!
Hey, what's going on? What happened?
Say, mister, two men. They were in one of the rooms. Anybody go through here?
No, I haven't seen a sign of them. Hey, wait! What did they do?
Nurse says they stabbed a girl.
Hey there!
Stabbed
hey.
A girl? Nurse! Nurse, where are you?
Oh, Mr. Kent, those men. They weren't her relatives. They went into her room and stabbed her.
Stabbed her?
The doctor. Miss Gray, where's Dr. Peters?
Nurse, how badly is she hurt? Is she dead?
I don't know. She's unconscious. Miss Gray, come in here and help quickly. Oh, thank heavens, Dr. Peters.
Yes.
In here, doctor.
Yes, right away, nurse.
Daily Planet, rewrite desk.
Listen, this is Clark Kent calling from City Hospital. Now get this, Mac.
Okay, Kent, shoot.
It's about that girl they rescued from the Sterling Tower fire. She's in the City Hospital accident ward, and a couple of alleged relatives got by the nurse and into her room.
Relatives, okay.
Only they weren't relatives. Nobody knows who they are, but they got into the girl's room and stabbed her. So far, the extent of her injuries is not known.
Not known. Listen, is she dead or isn't she?
Well, Mac, I don't know.
Well, find out, Kent. Find out and call back as soon as you can. I'll wait right here by the phone and hurry, will you? This sounds like it might have been...
Have Dineen and Pemberton, the two crooked owners of the North Star Mining Company, sealed their former secretary's lips forever? And why were they willing to risk arrest in order to get her out of the way? There are startling developments yet to come. Thrilling adventures in which Clark Kent and Superman play a major part. Don't miss the next sensational installment of Superman. Tune in with us next time and follow the exciting transcription, Superman.
Up in the sky, look,
it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman.
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
Our second episode for the day, The North Star Mining Company, starring Bud Collier as Clark Kent / Superman and Raleigh Bester as Lois Lane. Enjoy!
Presenting the transcription feature, Superman!
Up in the sky! Look!
It's a bird! It's a plane! It's Superman!
And now, Superman. When we last saw Clark Kent, he was in the midst of a baffling mystery. Waiting at the hospital to interview the girl he had saved in the nick of time from a burning building, he had heard a scream. Two men, posing as the girl's relatives, had visited her room, stabbed her, and suddenly vanished. Today, as our story continues, some time has passed. The girl's injury proved not to be serious, and she is now well enough to give Clark Kent his interview, though nervous and upset. As her story approaches its climax, she becomes more and more excited. Listen.
Mr. Kent, when I woke up here in the hospital, the first thing I saw, the very first thing, were those two faces bending over my bed. Bartley Pemberton and Joseph Dineen.
They're the ones who tried to kill you? But they're the head officers of the North Star Mining Company.
Of course they are. Don't you understand? Mr. Kent, I was their office secretary. About 2 months ago, I found out what they were doing. Mr. Kent, they weren't honest. They were swindlers. They sold people's stock in a mine out west, a mine with no gold in it.
Go on, Miss Anderson, if you're not too tired.
I want you to know what happened. I found some letters and some secret diagrams and maps. And then came the morning of the fire.
Yes, go on.
I got down to the office early that morning and began going through his desk. I was in his office all alone. I knew I had at least an hour before he got in. I stood there, opening and shutting drawers. And all the time, I didn't have any idea that there was somebody watching me from the closet. Pemberton.
Have you, by any chance, been investigating the activities of the North Star Mine, Miss Anderson? Have you?
All right. Since you've caught me, yes, I have. You've caught me, and I've caught you, you swindlers.
Why, you
Hold
little...
it, Joe. Now, look here, girl. What do you mean by calling us swindlers? You realize you can go to jail for that?
Jail? You're a fine pair to be talking about jail. That's where you're going. I've got written proof.
Oh, that's a lie, Miss Anderson. You have no proof.
No? What about that letter you wrote a month ago to Barker out west? What about the crooked figures? What about those records you were looking for just last week?
Well, what about them?
I have them, that's all. Huh? Every single one of them.
Where are they?
Where you'll never find them, Joseph Deneen. Never in the world. Not you or anybody else.
Are you sure of that, Miss Anderson? Mr. Deneen and I are very clever at finding things.
You'll never find these papers. I'm the only one in the world who knows where they are.
The only one, huh? Well, how fortunate. All right, grab her, Joe. Yeah. She's told us all we need to know.
Get away. Don't you dare. Help!
Go on, go on, yell. There's nobody here. It won't be for another half hour. And by that time, Miss Anderson, we'll be gone. Gone for good, and you'll still be here. Go on, Joe. Catch her. Tie her up. Here, wait a minute. I'll give you a hand.
I guess I was a fool, all right, Mr. Kent. I just didn't stop to think. I shouldn't have told him I was the only person who knew.
Oh, Miss Anderson, those papers. Why were they so anxious to keep anyone from finding them?
Mr. Kent, I don't know.
Must be something more than just proof of the swindle. Miss Anderson, where did you hide them? What did you do with those maps and diagrams?
My brother. He's the captain of a freight steamer, the Madison.
Yes?
I gave him all the papers in a package and told him to put them in the ship's safe.
And that's where they are now? Does your brother know what they are?
No, I didn't tell him. Oh, Mr. Kent, I can just see those two faces bending over me. I can't stand
it. Here, please, Miss Anderson, don't. Look, here comes the nurse.
Mr. Kent, I just heard from an orderly. Those men came in a car.
A car? What kind of a car?
A big black sedan, yes? License 2406.
2406. So long, Miss Anderson.
Where are you going?
To find that car. Thanks, nurse.
Mr. Kent, it's still at the parking lot. They left it there.
Fine, that makes it easier. See you later.
2406. Well, if that isn't a break, I never heard one. Ah, here's the parking lot. And there's the car. Down. Down. Now to see what I can find. Maybe an address, records, something to tell where they are. Ah, locked. I've got to get in. Hope nobody's looking. Now then, just take a door off. That'll be quickest. Once more. Now into the glove compartment. Ah, nothing. Nothing but guns. Two pistols. Well, Superman can take care of those.
Hey, what's that guy doing? What? Look!
Oh, they've seen me. Gotta get out of here.
He's wrecked the car. He's torn the door off. Get him! Catch him!
Yes, come on. Run after him, man. Let's get a hold of him.
Sorry, boys. Can't stay. Gotta get back to my paper and write up this story as Clark Kent.
In a hideout near the waterfront, Bartley Pemberton and Joseph Deneen stare grimly at the black type that tells so much and is so silent on the one thing they want most to know, whether their ex-secretary June Anderson has turned the incriminating papers over to the police. Pemberton decides to visit the Daily Planet office and learn what he can. Disguised as Dr. Ambrose, an investor in the North Star Mining Company, he pays a call on Clark Kent.
Hey there, Kent. Somebody wants to see you.
Huh? All right, who is he?
Right this way. That's Mr. Kent.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Mr. Kent, Mr. Clark Kent, who wrote the story on the North Star Mine?
Yes, I'm Clark Kent. What can I do for you? Won't you sit down?
Thanks. Mr. Kent, I'm a medical man, Dr. Ambrose. Dr. And every
Ambrose?
Penny I possess is invested in the North Star Mining Company.
Oh, say, I'm terribly sorry, Doctor.
Oh, Mr. Kent, you don't mean
that. I'm afraid I do. Those fellows, Pemberton and Deneen, were out-and-out confidence men. Swindlers.
What? They were? Why, the crooks, the rascals.
I'm sorry about your savings, Doctor.
Mr. Kent, my loss is not half so serious as the fact that men like that are still at large.
Well, don't worry. They won't be long.
Oh, you'll catch them? You have the proof?
Not yet, but we will have.
Not yet? I don't understand. If you haven't the proof now, where is it?
Oh, Kent, man, I've been looking for you everywhere. I'm sorry, I didn't see you were busy.
Oh, Mr. White, I just got in. This is Dr. Ambrose. He invested in the North Star Mine.
Yes.
Mr. White, doctor.
How do you do,
doctor? How do you do? Yes, I should say I did invest.
It was great work on your part, Kent. I just got a call from the district attorney's office.
What did they say?
They checked the girl's story, and it's true. She has got a brother who's the captain of a tramp steamer, and she did give him the package of papers just before he sailed.
Well, bless me, you don't mean it.
Yes, isn't that something, doctor? Where's the tramp steamer heading for, Mr. White?
Well, they asked us not to print it. But she's the Madison, running south from here to Charleston.
The Madison, hey?
When will it arrive in Charleston?
The day after tomorrow. And the minute she docks, one of the DA's men will step aboard and pick up the package. I guess that'll put those crooks behind the bars all right when they're caught.
Yes, indeed, Mr. Editor, when they're caught. Well, I'll not keep on disturbing you, gentlemen.
Don't say no. I didn't mean to interrupt you in Kent.
If there's anything you want to know, Dr. Ambrose...
Not a thing, Mr. Kent. I'll just run along. My business, you know. It's been a pleasure, a real pleasure.
Well, if you're sure there's nothing I can tell you...
No, nothing whatever. You've told me all there is to tell. Well, good day, gentlemen. Good day. Real pleasure.
Well, what do you make of him, Kent?
I can't imagine, Mr. White. He's probably worried stiff over his money.
You can't blame him for that.
No.
Now, where are you going?
Back up to the hospital. There's a whole lot more of that story. I want to talk to that Anderson girl again. See you later, Mr. White. And you say you've heard from your brother?
I had a wireless message.
Uh-huh.
The papers were all right. And he'll turn them over to the police when he docks at Charleston.
Well, now all we have to do is find Deneen and Pemberton.
I'll feel safer when they're caught.
You and an old doctor that called on me a while ago said he'd invested heavily in the North Star Mining Company.
Poor man. What was his name?
Why, Ambrose, Dr. Ambrose.
I don't recall any investor by that name.
And all the time I was talking to Mr. White about the Madison, the doctor just stood there biting his lips and tapping his index finger on the desk as though... What's the matter, Miss Anderson?
What did you say he did? Bit his lips and tapped with his finger?
Why, yes. What's so odd about that?
Nothing. Only, Mr. Kent, this old doctor, do you remember how tall he was?
Sure. About half a head shorter than I am.
And did his eyebrows meet in front in a straight line?
Why, yes, they did.
Mr. Kent, the finger that he tapped with, was there a scar on the knuckle? Did you notice that?
Miss Anderson... You know him? Who was he?
Oh, can't you guess, Mr. Kent? It was Bartley Pemberton, president of the North Star Mining Company. And now he knows.
Bartley Pemberton? Well, Miss Anderson, what if he does know?
Oh, don't you see? Don't you understand? He wants those papers. He'll do anything to get them. He'll take a plane or a fast boat.
No,
he'll catch a steamer.
Oh,
he'll
sure
kill
he
my brother. Oh, Mr. Kent, do something.
Now we're really getting somewhere. Take a boat, will he? And catch the steamer and kill the captain. I think not, Pemberton. Not this time. And not while Superman is around. Ah, there's Sandy Hook. You've got a good start, Pemberton, but you'll need it. Faster, faster!
Is that the Madison? That big hulk up there ahead?
That's her, boss. Go on up with her in good shape. Watch out for this wave.
Bart. What are you going to do?
Hoist distress signals. Shoot off a rocket. Get that captain to take us aboard.
And what?
Well, then we'll see. But whatever happens, we've got to have those papers. Or make sure nobody else does. Stand by, Joe. Here comes more water. All right, sailor. Let go of the rockets. Signal that freighter to heave to. Give her the whistle.
Aye, aye, sir.
What will happen on board the Madison when Pemberton and Deneen demand the papers from Captain Anderson's safe? And when Superman comes streaking down from the northern sky in hot pursuit? Tune in next time and follow the story. Tune in with us next time and follow the exciting transcription, Superman.
Up in the sky, look!
It's a bird! It's a plane! It's Superman!
Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.